You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire. Disinformation at the UN, Russian cyber operations against Ukraine, German police take down a major contraband market, at least someone's carrying on for Lapsus, there's a compromise at MailChimp, Joe Kerrigan describes JavaScript vulnerabilities, Carol Terrio has an eye on romance scams through the lens of Netflix's The Tinder Swindler, and a well-known gang branches out. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, April 5th, 2022. Fighting in Ukraine shifts as Russia retreats from Kyiv to reconstitute and shift forces to the Donbas and the Black Sea. U.S. National Security Advisor Sullivan sees a long war ahead, Bloomberg reports, one that could last for months. It's necessary to devote some attention to Russian disinformation and its debunking, since we can expect to see Russia's themes planted and amplified online. After the United Nations Secretary General this morning called for an immediate end to the war against Ukraine, a humanitarian ceasefire, Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed the United Nations Security Council. He denounced in detail Russian atrocities in Bucha and other cities Ukrainian forces have now retaken. "We all know," Mr. Zelensky said, "what Russia will tell the world. They will blame everyone just to justify their own actions," he said. Russia's method has been to insist that there are differing accounts of events and divergent interpretations, but this is done just to sow confusion. In this case, however, President Zelensky said, the evidence is incontrovertible, and preserving that evidence and publicizing it is vitally important. He said, the Russian military and those who gave them orders must be brought to justice immediately for war crimes. He called for trials like those held in Nuremberg after World War II, pointedly reminding Russian diplomats that the Nazi Foreign Minister Ribbentrop didn't escape punishment in 1946. President Zelensky called for equal treatment of all nations and an end to the privilege Russia has enjoyed as a permanent member of the Security Council. Russia's representative on the Council, in a strikingly mendacious response, asked that the UN recognize Russia's humanitarian work in Ukraine. He deplored Ukraine's interference with those efforts. He characterized Russia's mass abduction of Ukrainian citizens to Russia as a voluntary humanitarian effort. As we note, these themes can be expected to reappear in Russian disinformation over the coming week. Security firm Intezer followed up CertUA's discovery of a new malware framework being used in phishing campaigns. They said a recently developed malware framework called Elephant is being delivered in targeted spear phishing campaigns using spoofed Ukrainian governmental email addresses. The four malware components delivered are used for stealing credentials, documents, and to provide remote access to the infected machine. Two of these components were first reported on by the Computer Emergency Response Team for Ukraine, that's CertUA, in March 2022. They named the two components GraphSteel and GrimPlant. When investigating these events, we have identified that Elephant has also been delivered via phishing emails from spoofed Ukrainian email addresses. Elephant is a malware framework written in Go. Germany's federal police, the BKA, today announced its takedown of Hydra Market, the largest Russophone dark web contraband market. The blockchain analysis firm Elliptic says that it's been able to determine that Hydra Market has processed some $5 billion in Bitcoin since 2016, with its take peaking in 2021. The BKA said that it had seized about 23 million euros from the illegal trading platform, and that its investigation and takedown had been accomplished in cooperation with international partners, especially U.S. law enforcement agencies. In addition to trading such contraband as illegal drugs and stolen data, Hydra Market was heavily involved in money laundering. London police may have arrested several alleged leaders of the Lapsus Group and arraigned two of them, but Naked Security reports that the gang's activities seem to have resumed. Evidently, some of its members are carrying on even after the leader's arrest. MailChimp says it's discovered and contained a data breach accomplished by criminal social engineering. TechCrunch reports that about 300 user accounts were compromised and that customer data was extracted from 102 of those. The stolen data appears to have been put to use in phishing attempts against the cryptocurrency and financial services sectors. Bleeping Computer reports that cryptocurrency customers appear to be particularly at risk. The problem is social engineering on the basis of stolen information, not direct corruption of MailChimp's systems. In what appears to be news from the C2C marketplace, according to researchers at Mandiant, the financial cybercrime gang Fin7 is branching out. Hitherto best known for breaking into payment systems and corporate networks, Fin7 has now added ransomware to its repertoire. Fin7 is now using R-Evil, DarkSide, Black Matter, and ALF-B ransomware. Our correspondent Carol Terrio recently checked out the popular Netflix film The Tinder Swindler, and that's got her pondering romance scams. She files this report.
Based on a glut of news coverage that I'm seeing from my little corner of the internet, Netflix's Tinder Swindler is all the rage. Don't worry if you haven't seen it, I won't ruin it for you, other than to say it shows to what lengths some people are willing to go to dupe another person. There are a number of jaw-dropping moments that made me take pause, because normally when I hear about romance scams, I find it hard to relate to the conned individual. Normally I'm thinking, how could she? Yeah, it is normally women who are victims here in romance scams. How could she not see what was going on? But Tinder Swindler opened my eyes, because I related to some of the victims doing their due diligence to try and see if this was a good match for them. See, I'd like to think that's what I would do too. But turns out just because you do your due diligence does not mean you definitely will not be conned. And this is an important topic because romance scams have skyrocketed. Did you know that according to the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, online dating scams cost Americans $304 million during the lonely months of the 2020 pandemic? That figure has increased almost 50% from 2019. And the UK isn't any different. There were reportedly more than 7,500 cases of romance fraud in the last year alone, an annual rise of 40%. So let's take this opportunity to go through just a few things to look out for if you should find yourself in the online dating scene. And really, it comes down to noticing and reacting to red flags, like if the profile is too incredibly heroic and Prince Charming-like, or perhaps the pictures are a little bit blurry or even look a bit photoshopped. Maybe they never want to meet you in person or even have a video call with you. Maybe they try and employ the love at first sight tactic using language like, I've never met anyone like you before. I've never felt this way. Something like that to make you feel all a flutter and lose your head. And the whole game is to move you from a potential love interest into love zone as quickly as possible. Because once you are there, they can start trying to get their grubby little hands on your hard-earned cash. And the killer in all this is that so many of us right now are isolated, lonely, in need of communion with another person more than ever before. So we're sitting ducks. And how do ducks protect themselves? They stay in a pack. So if you do find a love interest online, tell your friends and your family about it. Get their take and listen to the people who love you. Because there's one thing I've learned on how to defeat scammers is there's power in numbers. It's much easier to fool one person than it is to fool three or five or 10. This was Carol Terrio for The Cyberwire.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And joining me once again is Joe Kerrigan. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute and also my co-host over on the Hacking Humans podcast. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Dave.
Interesting information coming from you and your colleagues over at Hopkins.
That's right.
You all identified a vulnerability in some websites. So yep. What exactly is going on here, Joe?
So this is some research done by Dr. Yunzi Cao and some of his PhD students.
Hmm.
And they found a vulnerability, it's a JavaScript vulnerability, called Probe the Proto, which is something when you're writing JavaScript, I haven't written JavaScript in years, but I did get a look at the vulnerability. And it permits a user or a malicious actor to inject arbitrary code into the JavaScript prototype, which can then essentially export any information out, including like tokens, browser tokens and cookies and things.
Oh, wow.
And allows session hijacking and a lot of other cross-site scripting attacks.
Okay.
But that's not what I want to focus on because I wasn't involved in the technical portion of this, but because Dr. Cao is an ISI instructor and he found a vulnerability. He worked with me as the Information Security Institute's vulnerability disclosure coordinator to tell the websites that he and his team examined. Now, the examination happened offline. So we requested the websites. The students requested the websites, ran the analysis on a local computer.
Right.
That analysis was not – we didn't do anything against anybody else's computer. All we did was access freely available websites and then analyze them.
Okay.
To see if they were vulnerable. 2,700 of these websites were vulnerable out of the top 10,000 websites.
So did you fire up the Hopkins bat signal?
That's right.
Okay.
This was the largest vulnerability disclosure that I think we've ever done.
Wow.
Right? Because we found this vulnerability. It's out there. It's 2,700 sites that we know about.
Yeah.
Right? And these are only the ones we looked at. There are probably many more sites that are vulnerable to this attack. But then we had to notify all of the 2,700 sites, which was a huge task.
Yeah.
So I wrote the disclosure document. I handed that off to the students because there's no way I was going to be able to go through and do everything. Additionally, when I was going to be when a question was going to be asked about this, I wasn't going to be able to answer the technical questions as well as the students and Dr. Cal were.
Sure.
I mean, I could have done that, but that would have taken much more time than I had.
Yeah.
And as long as I'm involved in the process, that's fine. What I want to talk about is what happened when we made 2,700 disclosures.
Okay.
We heard back from maybe 50 of these people, 50 of these organizations who had questions. Now, I will say this. The tone of every one of these organizations was gratitude and appreciation for the work.
That's good.
Right? And in the letter, I made sure that we described that we weren't actively exploiting anything on their systems at all.
We were
just doing the analysis back home, but that analysis could be done, or that vulnerability could be exploited via cross-site scripting, right?
Okay.
And we also provided the fix for it, because the fix is actually fairly simple.
Oh, good.
Out of the 2,700, about 50 people responded, which to me says that a lot of these sites just didn't even read the email.
Yeah.
And that's not uncommon in my experience.
Right.
Companies need to have some kind of vulnerability disclosure process, regardless of who they are. You know, if you have a website anywhere that you maintain, somebody has to be able to tell you about vulnerabilities on that website, even if you don't maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're a small business, small, medium-sized business, and you have a contractor that says, we'll host and manage your website for you. Ask them this question. How do you handle when somebody discloses a vulnerability on my website?
Mm-hmm.
That's an important question to ask.
Mm-hmm. Is there a real human being who's reviewing these submissions?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see 100% response from these things. Oh, hey, great. Thanks. We'll fix that.
Right.
But and maybe that's what happened with a lot of them. Maybe a lot of them just said, oh, look at this. We'll just make this change to the JavaScript and we're done.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is there any plans to go back and do any checking to see, you know, a year from now, revisit some of these sites and see if it's been fixed?
That is interesting. That would be some good follow-on research, wouldn't it?
That's right. I'll just take that honorary doctorate. There's two T's in Bittner, so right. Yeah.
I'll hook you up with Dr. Cow and maybe you could become one of his PhD students.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I need. All right. Well, so, I mean, what's the take home here for you? Were you disappointed to not see more response or I guess
I was not disappointed.
Disappointed, but not surprised.
Right. Yeah. You know? I guess maybe that's the better way to say it. I am happy to see that no one said you better not disclose this or we'll sue you.
Oh, yeah. Because that happens sometimes.
It does.
Right?
And I have a response for that.
Yeah.
I say, you know, our counsel knows about this.
Yeah.
You are welcome to sue us.
Right.
It will not end well for you. because this is a mistake that you've made and it's a mistake that's out there and we're going to publish the methodology and it will be in the in the vulnerability mindset within a couple of months. And we gave everybody a good long non-disclosure period on this.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if you're interested in the actual vulnerability, I guess just do a search for Probe the Proto and you'll find the publications that Johns Hopkins, the ISI, has put out about this. Interesting stuff. Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dave.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Liz Irvin, Elliot Peltzman, Trey Hester, Brandon Karp, Eliana White, Peru Prakash, Justin Sabi, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.